Welcome to KMXT's Talk of the Rock, our local community affairs program, where we explore issues and organizations related to our community. Talk of the Rock is hosted by members of the KMXT News team.
Once again, Jared Griffin, and today we're talking with Kodiak College faculty, Kodiak College influencers. Isn't that the term now? Influencers. You guys influence.
That's a heavy responsibility.
That is a heavy responsibility. To talk about the opening of the fall semester courses, what Kodiak College is up to. And yesterday we talked to the school district, so figured it'd also be a good time to talk to the college and see what's going on there. So in the studio with me, I have Thea Falcone, assistant professor of sociology. Okay, all right. Dr. Mark Schreider, professor, full professor, congratulations. Yay. Yes, full professor of history and humanities, and associate professor of, oh my gosh, is it business?
And accounting.
Business and accounting, Catherine Hollis Buchanan. Welcome, everyone. It's good to see you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I haven't seen you all summer, so it's kind of nice. And in the interest of full disclosure, I also work for Kodiak College, but I'm on sabbatical this fall now, so I get to volunteer some time and help out the radio station and do some things with them. So it's been pretty fun. So first, before we get started, I want to know, what have you been up to this summer? Have you all been quarantining and hunkering down?
No way. I've been up on every top of every mountain I could get up.
which of these?
Oh, you're on okay. That, yeah, that one there.
I, by the luck of the draw, got to quarantine 3 times for a total of 7 weeks.
Oh, wow.
It was horrible.
And I picked up Thea at the airport. Likewise, had to lie low there. But I spent the summer growing my new puppy, or watching my new puppy grow.
Oh, so nice.
All right. I got to spend 10 weeks with my grandson. That was really good.
All right. So what is college going to look like this this fall? In terms of what can students expect, face-to-face classes, or is Kodiak College going all online this semester?
Well, I think first I can speak to the atmosphere, which I think will be more dynamic and exciting. We have a new director, Jason Keyes, who comes in from Oregon, who I think is setting a remarkable tone. And the beginning of the school year, it's always exciting. I'm going to use that term a lot.
Yes.
But there's also some nervousness, and especially this year, but you need not worry. We've been doing this for a long time. And when we had to adjust last spring to going online, we were ready, far more ready than, say, our counterparts at the larger campuses. They had to pick things up from the get-go. And we've been doing this for years and years and years. Catherine and Thea and, well, Jared and, yeah, and I've been doing video conference for 10, 12 years, so we're prepared, and it's all about students, and there should be no fears at all. In fact, excitement and good things. We look for that.
No, I hear that. I can just remember my colleagues from down south, kind of freaking out a little bit of having to move classes online or through some kind of teleconferencing or something. And I got to tell them, yeah, exactly what Mark just said. We've been doing this for years, so.
Right.
No, huge shifts.
Catherine longer than probably any of us.
Yeah.
One thing I'd like to say to students who are nervous about this, especially potentially, upperclassmen at the high school who are interested in going to the college and taking some classes to get a head start, maybe make up a little what they lost last year, is we're basically available 24/7, and you're not limited to this 2-hour class with 30 other people where you may or may not be comfortable asking questions. And I think it's the online format, at least for me in my classes, is much more
yeah.
Mask gotta come out.
Removed.
Just don't spit on the microphone.
Yeah. We do disinfect everything after.
Yeah. Yes.
And I think we've got some good airflow here.
Yeah.
But
we're 6 feet apart.
Yeah.
Anyway, the students are able to ask for much more customized help and assistance based on what their needs and their schedule is. And so I think that while they may not be confident about it, I think if they give it a try, they will find that it's actually for many learning styles, people with different learning styles, it's a wonderful environment. And
well, I should say your courses are like that. Mine are a bit different. Yeah. They're synchronous, meaning at the same mm-hmm. time via video. And so they get to be TV personalities. If we go that route, we'll also have a face-to-face yes. component. And so we can make an adjustment as need be.
And but I'm in the middle between the two. I have one purely distance class. And then I've revised. I started working on this over the summer because I knew it was inevitable. My favorite face-to-face 101 class is going to have the video component. So if they say, okay, everybody go online, I'll already be ready. Mm-hmm. So, and that's the other thing for young people to know is that we all know this is different. So we're going to be more forgiving or more helpful if you're like feeling lost, because we're all kind of feeling it too.
And we have to encourage them to ask. I mean, that's the one thing that if you don't get help, it's because you didn't ask. And so we want everybody to know that we're here and we want to be here for them and encourage them to ask for what they need, mm-hmm. communicate. So that would be your area, Jared.
No, wait. I teach that in the spring.
Teach people how to ask.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah, that's.
Oh
good.
Yeah, that's important.
And the right questions.
And the right questions, exactly. All right. So, what are some of the classes? Let's talk about classes. What classes do you want to talk about? Exciting classes that you've got coming up.
Well, I'm the introduction to sociology class, which is going to happen on Wednesdays, 7 to 10. And it has that TV component, the video component to it. That's like my favorite class to teach to first-time college students. Mm-hmm. And it's been designed so that kind of one of the latent functions of it is it teaches you how to be in college and how to ask the right questions and how to work with people and how to keep a deadline and all that stuff. So I always like that. I always encourage people to take that. That class fills up fast, and then they're usually coming to me and saying, will you take more? And I say yes, because I really like it.
And that's like project based.
The only part I'm worried about is I play a lot of games, and that's going to be harder. But when I was in Washington, my grandson helped me revise one of my games to be online. So I told him, you're getting lots of phone calls. and my daughter said, you have to pay him. And I said, I don't care.
I already have. So.
Yeah, you're alive.
and that's it's not called Sociology 101.
It's Introduction to Sociology.
Introduction to Sociology.
And there's also a purely online version of that class as well. And if they start eliminating face-to-face classes one by one, I'm fighting for that one to stay face-to-face. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important. I'm also offering one, was it called hybrid when you have the TV in the room? Civic engagement, which usually we do the Civic Action Fair. We won't be able to do that this year. Mm-hmm. The students will come up with another project to do. But I've got a list of interesting things I saw while I was traveling.
And do you know, are they kind of retrofitting? Because you use, some big spaces, some of the big classrooms. And so spreading out students and doing all of that.
They're doing that. Yeah. They've done that. I mean, they've assigned the classrooms accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
We got a taste of that yesterday at our end service.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. How was that?
It was great.
The part that was hard, though, is usually if I start, people will kick me under the table to shut me up.
But now we're too far away.
I just text her now. Shut up.
Can we throw things?
Yeah,
are we silly?
Paper.
Mark, what have you got coming up?
Well, I'm excited about all my courses.
Yeah, you've usually got some pretty sexy courses.
Oh, yeah, sexy. but I'm particularly excited about one I developed titled The Human Footprint, an Environmental History of the World, Humanities 212. It's a general education requirement. But environmental history is about the changing interrelationships between humans and nature throughout time. We started with the Big Bang, and we end up
a big environmental change.
Yeah, exactly, where we all came from. Yeah. And then
I still don't believe it was a. That's such a male-oriented model. I'm sorry.
Here we go, all Mark. Right,
okay, go on.
I practice gender neutrality, so. But it comes up to the Anthropocene. Are you offended by that title?
No. Oh.
In which, the major driving factor in climate and the planet are humans.
Right.
And but also with this course, and I try to bring in other stuff. I co-teach this with a 1,000-pound gorilla named Ishmael. Well,
sweet.
Actually, it's a book, one of my favorite books by Daniel Quinn, which a 1,000-pound gorilla teaches us, frankly, how to save the world. Difference between leavers and takers, and it's very compelling, extremely well-written, very interesting, and students fall in love with that. And we talk about the story of stuff and how we got where we are. I'm also excited about my philosophy course, which just isn't about dead philosophers, but also about what fishing has to do with philosophy and vice versa. There, too, I use a companion volume, The River Why, one of my favorite books about mm-hmm. fishing. And it's extremely well written and very provocative. And it explains coming-of-age stories and explains a lot of philosophical concepts in practical terms. And, of course, I have my American history standard, which is foundational, fundamental for all Americans, I believe. Especially nowadays, we need to be informed. And this covers the first half through 1877, including the Civil War. So a lot of issues in the Confederacy, of course, and that.
Do you have the do you cover the Culper Ring in there?
Oh, yeah. Whatever you want there.
And the kids may ask, Hamilton, are you covering Hamilton? Do you
watch
Hamilton?
Oh, I have students who, and they also get to analyze films, and I had a student analyze that. It's not quite my thing, but it's popular. Anything to make history popular, yeah.
And so those of us who are hearing the banter in the room, that's what it's like on a Kodiak College campus.
Yes, in a classroom.
In a classroom.
Because teachers like to talk.
Yes. Just interrupt and people argue. With questions and argue.
Well, arguing is not a bad thing.
No, it's not. It's writing an argument.
Yeah, it's not exactly.
That's how we can approach truth through argument. Yes.
That's not just saying no, it isn't. You're supposed to say yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Okay. Yes, it is. I missed my cue, sorry. I was thinking of the Culper Ring.
I was thinking of Monty Python.
And Catherine, what have you got?
Well, first of all, I did enjoy Hamilton this summer.
Yes.
That was really cool. I'm very excited about my Business Foundations class. It has recently changed names. Every organization that anyone will ever work in is some sort of business, nonprofits, churches. It doesn't matter. We are all... working under business foundational practices and operations. And this course is also a general education requirement. So if you're not real sure what area of business you want to work in, this is a great class to get a taste of each department, from accounting to finance to marketing to sales to accounting. Well, I already said accounting. I'm an accounting instructor, right?
Well, that's accounting. You got to double check. So
yeah, economics.
Right.
Yeah. Double check accounting. So every week we go over a different area of business department. And if you don't know what area of business you want to work in when you come in, you will certainly know which ones you don't want to work in at the end. So that's actually 100% online. Both of my programs, the full programs, are online. So you can actually finish a general business or accounting core requirements all online from Kodiak College. And it's nice to take an online class from a local instructor, because if you need to see me, I am here. So.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
And I want to put like an extra plug in for those classes, because even I work with some theater organizations, and you think it's theater and artists, but it's a huge chunk is business and marketing and accounting and sales and inventory and things like that. And that I've been
human resources.
Oh my gosh, right. For sure. So, and there is a huge, I don't know how big it is here, Catherine, you might have a better pulse on that, but since March, there have been more kind of like homegrown small business kinds of, things that people have organized or have built, and so they need some of those business principles to help them sell their masks and you know, and so yeah.
And actually, that's a good point, because I do focus the class on small business owners. So we will often talk about, you know, big companies will do this, but you're more likely to see economics in this area instead of, you know, instead of selling stocks, you're probably going to earn money looking for an investor or something like that. So
unless you hit the lottery or fat inheritance or something. So kind of coming off that, then how, and this is for everybody, but we can start again with Catherine. How are you kind of integrating this current moment that we're in, the COVID-19 pandemic, the economic fallout, all that stuff? How are you integrating that into your curriculum, into your classes?
So particularly in economics, we have been talking about, I teach both macro and micro. And so it doesn't really, it does come into play in macro environment, but it's more difficult to predict than in the micro environment. So we have been talking a lot, especially this summer, because I taught this summer, about the potential fallout and how things, you know, economics is also a general education requirement, and it's a social science that it's based on, you know, theory of what's going to happen based on what's happened in the past. But this is a unique situation we've never experienced before, so it's very difficult to make those predictions based on the fact that we have never had this happen before. So it's I think it's made it more interesting. There are less finite for sure answers. And I think that makes for better critical thinking in students. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we've definitely discussed it.
Oh, for sure. And to what extent, like, are you prepared to, because I've seen, been talking with a lot of people this summer, you know, helping out with the radio station, even just like the practical elements of applying for CARES Act funding or PPP, you know, even just like the nitty gritty kind of stuff. Are you finding you're going to have to, did you already talk about that in your class? You're like, now we got to integrate. This is how we ask for financial help from the state, from the city, from the federal
government.
Yeah,
and a lot of that is writing skills and sociology skills and even humanities skills. I mean, it takes a lot of things. One of the things we've noticed, especially with all of the grant opportunities, is even the lenders, the organizations that are actually giving the money, they're not even well prepared right now. Very few of the banks have even the ability for you to ask for forgiveness for the PPE loans that you did spend the way you were supposed to, because they weren't prepared for it. So it's a great opportunity for especially entry-level accounting and economic students who want to get in there and kind of help with the process and learn from the ground up.
Theo, yeah, what about you? How are you integrating this?
Well, social change is the whole stuff of sociology, and whatever's going on in the world, I've always like just shoved it in there in the class. And there is so much changing. It's like we are really turning the corner in the world to a whole new if you race cars and you're on the racetrack, you know, you take turn one, turn two, then you come to turn three and everything changes. Who's in front and who's in behind, all that changes. And we're kind of entering turn three. So we don't really know, like Catherine said, there's no way to predict. But sociology admits that from the get-go. We don't really predict. We're just going to lay out what we see. And you put those cumulative things together that all the people see, and you're a little more prepared. But there are, like, I keep asking the question when people are talking about, oh, this is going to happen. I'm like, well, who's going to benefit from that? It's not going to be me. I'm not going to benefit. Old lady in rural Alaska is not going to benefit from that. But that's a really important question to ask. And whose interest is it?
Well, I think, too, especially with economics, one needs to understand that helping one person is gonna, the money, you know, I worked in healthcare for 24 years, my first career. And people would say, you know, free healthcare. We should have free healthcare. There is nothing free. And so you take
Tinstoffel.
From,
I learned that in I learned that in 11th grade. There's no such thing as a free lunch. Tinstoffel. Yeah. It was like written above the classroom door. Tinstoffel. My teacher, she nailed that into this.
Remember.
Yeah, so we need to understand that, you know, something as simple as if a low paid employee gets minimum wage increase, that is going to affect small business down the line. That's going to affect benefits down the line. It's not so
right.
Understanding the cooperation between each of these aspects is it's a, like I said, the critical thinking skills is really what we, especially in the 2-year college, is what we think about, try to teach. Exactly. Because
the other piece.
I know, Jared, you're going to skip me because what does history have to do
with it? Well, I was going to say, let's look to the past.
But
or
to put it in historical perspective, we can look to the Black Death, Great Plague, or the epidemic, the flu epidemic following World War One. Mm-hmm. Which the current occupant of the White House referred to as 1917, I think.
Ended the war.
And it ended the Second World War. Well, no. You need to get your facts straight and put it. Sure, we've gone through a lot of nasty things before. And I think if we look at how we dealt with things then, we learned.
Right.
And
I hope.
Yeah. And we can handle this and a whole lot more if we have to. So but I think there's room for optimism if you look at the past.
I'm optimistic. What was that word?
Apocalyptic?
Apocalyptic.
Apocalyptic.
Apotheosis?
Somebody who knows there's going to be an apocalypse and thinks it might turn out just fine.
Those are all zombies, aren't they?
that's me. The illustration you gave is a really good one because there's that matter of all those positive tests in Alitac that more than doubled our numbers. And right around the corner from Alitac is a native village. I have not heard that mentioned in the media yet. There's, you know, I'm a little worried about that because you can go in and out of Alitac without getting counted.
I'll bring it up with the docs.
I'm writing an email. Okay. Several points there. But yeah, I would hate to see a repeat of what happened in 1917. You've seen the pictures of all the bodies piled in native villages. Okay, thank you. And
good thing you're not president of the United States.
I would never do that. All those native bodies piled in villages, I don't want to see that. We should have learned.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
we have better masks now, I'm sure.
Seen some pretty impressive gas masks in World War One, though.
Yeah, they did. I want one of those ones like that shield.
Yeah,
the shield, or what the kids are doing—they're taking the clear pot lid and then putting it in front of their face and putting their hood, their hoodie hood over it, and kind of tightening it. So you've got this clear pot. Lid.
It's what a good project to do in a class. Invent a new mask.
Invent a new mask.
Okay, you heard it here first.
And also, Mark, it's not just history. I mean, what are you the philosophical and even like the environmental work that you do? How are you?
Oh, well, that's central to everything, and we are. We think that we're divorced from nature. No, we're very much a part of it and active agents in that. And it pays to see all those interrelationships play out. But also, talking about other things, there are other courses that we offer. For instance, music appreciation. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of art courses. And music appreciation taught by Constance Jensen, who is remarkably talented. She's been at it for a long time and passionate about that. But maybe if you wanted to get on a more philosophical level, Jared, we really do need to analyze where we've been, how we got here, and you know what our options are for the future, and how we handle this. Because I think, we can talk about, people are tired of hearing about global warming, climate change, but it is a climate crisis. And I think it's a major factor in the world. Population is associated with that. Mm. And it used to be when pandemics broke out, well, they weren't pandemics because they were isolated because we didn't have this.
That's a really good point.
And now you get on an airplane and you'd be on the other side of the world that day. So we're increasingly vulnerable. We need to realize that. And, of course, we need to make plans to prepare for it.
Right.
There have been a lot of climate change issues, of course, across history.
Yes, you're going to say they're cyclical. But if you look, put that chart along with the human caused factors.
As long as the graph
for
is a
carbon dioxide
graph,
in the ozone. Yeah, for instance.
Don't mix up a logarithmic graph with a numerical graph because that's right up the wall.
You just don't want to admit it.
No, I want people to see the whole picture.
Yes, so do I. Yes, and that's why. And some folks shy away from the term environmental history because, oh, you must be a wacko tree hugger. No, we all live in the environment, and we should all be very concerned about it. So I think it's very germane to especially
I'm not denying that is happening, but I just read a book called Flood that talked about the series of floods because of the ice caps melting, and I'm talking about the culture of first farmers, which there were like, 100,000 people. So,
yes.
Sorry.
No,
you need
no,
to take
don't
one
get her started.
Take gotta, sociology 101. Take sociology.
Well, and, as I was talking with the school district admin yesterday, I think we've also kind of seen a little like crisis in literacy. Like we have seen that we are not generally as a society not good at reading numbers, reading math, reading the signs, reading the data. So there's a whole
students read differently these days.
Oh, for sure.
We're scientifically illiterate now and mathematically, but it's worse outside.
So we have a couple minutes left. How is like just kind of a daily campus life what is that going to look like for students, for faculty, for staff? What do you think that's going to look like this fall?
Well, it's sort of limited entry into buildings, just coming in via one door. And having, being let in. And so I don't know exactly. Semi-lockdown. Not lockdown. No. Students
but
should
people,
be welcome
some
as long
be
as they practice,
there.
Safe hygiene.
Well, we still have student government, student activities.
Oh, yes. Okay. Those are all outside. So, yes, we absolutely.
All right.
No sports team, sorry.
No sports, no.
Dang.
Zombie run? The annual zombie
yes,
run?
Yes, we will have the zombie run Saturday before Halloween. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I mean, I guess zombies aren't really. Well, I don't know. It depends. Some zombie stories, they're like hordes, and then some, they socially distance. So I guess we'll see what shows up. We got about a minute left. We just want to go around one last time and give us your final pitch for whatever it is you want to pitch. 15 seconds.
Sociology and civic engagement. Thank you, Jared.
Kodiak College, putting students first since 1968. And from here, you can go anywhere.
Oh, that's for sure. Oh, yes.
How can I top all of that? No. Check into some classes. Take advantage of this time where you've got a little bit more time and do something good for yourself and invest in yourself.
Oh, yeah. Now's the time to do it.
Now's the time to do it.
Definitely.
Well, it was good to see you all, my friends. And I'll miss you over the next few months. And see you again in
January.
No, I'll pop in from time to time. But thanks again to my guests, Thea Falcone, Dr. Mark Schreider, Catherine Hollis Buchanan, and Kodiak College, and they're registering for classes now. So get on it. Invest in yourself. It's a great message. All right, thanks for listening to Talk of the Rock.
Thanks, Jared.
And we'll see you next time. Thanks.